Good morning. I'm the Reverend Dr. Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. And I pray that in our worship this day, we may honor God's extravagant welcome to all people and in a spirit of unity. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us by live streamed or recorded worship this day. Distance and time may separate us, and yet by the power of the Spirit, we know that we are one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are welcome warmly in this congregation and by this congregation. I have a few announcements I want to offer this morning. This live stream worship service wouldn't be possible without the help of some technical expertise of Randy Brewer and Hank Zaretter. So we thank them for their work, and also to my co-worship leaders this day, Tom Keller and Wayne Zaretter and Sarah Lynn Keller. Tom Foster and Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter. We also want to invite you to post-worship fellowship, a time when we gather by Zoom about 11:30 to 12:30 today. There's a link to this gathering following church on the church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. It's also in the link emailing if you're on our mailing list. If you're not on our mailing list, we hope that you'll get on it. And so please do email us, and you can send that email to admin@firstchurchnatick.org to let us know that you'd like to be included. Please do that. Also, during this time of worship, we have a time of prayer concerns and celebrations that we want to lift up, and you're invited to email us during this service any prayer concerns or celebrations you might want to share. Again, send those to admin@firstchurchnatick.org by email. And you do that by the time of the reflection following the scriptures. You will be able to include those in our worship this day. We begin our service following the announcements with candle lighting. So we hope that you'll have a candle with you that you can light as we light the Christ candle. Today as well is Communion Sunday, and so we invite you to have some things, if you haven't already gathered them together, to serve as bread and wine. They may be bread and wine, but they may be other things, bread or crackers or something else that you can break and share with any others who may be with you. Juice or wine or water in a cup or cups, whatever works for you. Whatever is to hand, because that is what it also meant in Jesus' day. Bread and wine were at hand, and that's what Jesus took. One other announcement that I'd offer this morning, and that is we have several different ways for you to connect during this time of pandemic quarantine. And one of those ways is by Zoom through a couple of different meetings that happen. One on Monday, from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, our Spirit Connect time. This is a time when we might talk about creative things that we can do as a church together to be responsive in this moment. And then we have another time, Tuesdays, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We call this Spirit Boost. It's a time to share what's on our hearts and minds and to pray together and to support one another during our time of challenge, but also to lift up the joys and celebrations that are in our lives as well.
We also want to let you know that there are scholarships available for folks who are engaged in higher education, and those applications are due in the office on May 17th. You can find your application either on our website or notifying the church office that you would like one. And also that Jonathan is available for pastoral care for any needs that you might have, and you can reach him by email or phone. Those numbers are available in your bulletin or in the link that comes out. And also the Tiffany, the hospital chaplain at Metro West Medical Center, is collecting messages of hope and inspiration for the staff at Metro West Medical. We are calling this project the Hall of Heroes Project. And so if you send your messages on single sheets, just your 8.5 by 11 kind of printer paper, draw something, write something, just inspirational messages, and send those to the Leonard Morris Hospital campus.
Let us now light our candles together, remembering by these friendly flames that by the power of the Spirit, we are one in Christ. And in this Easter season, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let us continue our worship now with our responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the call to celebration. People of God, we are a tapestry of mystery and meaning, a fine garment of divine blessing and human care.
We are a gentle weave of deep sighs and fervent prayers, a work of art woven with whispers and shouts.
Beloved, we are God's tapestry.
Touched with mystery and filled with meaning, is playing variety yet bound one to another. Let us worship the God of unity among diversity.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, O God, in whom we live and have our being, we come together in your presence to sing your praise. Accept the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts, for we are yours. Gather up the prayer of each heart into one harmony of worship and service, that we might truly be one body in Christ. Bind us together, prompting others to join one another in working for the common good.
I invite each of us now to reach out our hands in a gesture of blessing or place our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Hi, Sarah Lynn. It's the time for children, and I wanted to show you this very exciting picture of rope.
Why do you want to show me that, Jonathan?
Well, I've been trying to understand part of today's scripture that says a threefold cord is not easily broken. What do you think that might mean?
Well, it sounds like it's talking about rope.
Well, I thought so. I thought so. Have you ever seen rope like this?
Well, let me think. It looks pretty strong and thick, like it must be for something heavy, like maybe a boat or a tall tent.
How about around the church?
Oh, maybe the church bell?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. That is a pretty thick rope too. And it turns out the thicker the rope, the stronger it is, the more weight it can hold without breaking. In fact, this kind of rope, which is an inch or more thick, is so strong that it can hold things that are up to 10,000 pounds. That's like the size of a UPS truck or an elephant.
Wow.
Well, here's why that's true. If you look at the end of this rope, you can see how it's fraying, and you can see all the different parts to it as it comes apart. And all of those parts have names. It starts with those tiny little fibers, right? Those little threads. And that those are then pulled together into what's called yarns. And then they are spun into strands. And you can see those three strands there. And then those are all braided together to make a rope or a cord, just like the Bible talks about, a threefold cord.
Oh, I see.
What do you think would happen, Sarah Lynn, if you used just one of those little fibers to try to ring the church bell?
Well, I think the rope would break.
or just one string one string of yarn or even a strand?
Yeah, I think it would probably still break. That bell is so big and heavy. But why do you think the Bible talked about rope anyway?
Well, that's a really good question. It turns out it's about us and how together we are stronger too. Jesus hoped that we would be something like rope. In fact, he prayed that we would join together and that we would become one.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think he knew that to help other people, it means that we'll have to be strong like rope, and that it's lonely as one fiber, but when we are bound together like a family and like that rope, we're gathered together like our church.
Exactly.
And I think that's what church is all about.
Well, what do you mean, Sarah Lynn?
Well, it's where we come together and figure out how we can become strong like rope and how God wants us to use that strength to make a better world, and where we know we have a special place together like a family.
Well, here is something else that Jesus might have said. If we pray, we won't fray.
Very funny, Jonathan.
I'm sorry, that was really bad, but truly, when we feel like we're coming apart, we can pray together and it can help. So let's pray together now. Loving God, thank you for all of us and how we can be joined together when we wish to. Help us to do that, to come together, to become one, even in a time when we're really separate, to become one so that we can be strong and faithful and a good family, following the ways that you would have us live. And living the ways that Jesus lived. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, though we are not passing an offering plate at this time, we hope that you will continue to be a generous contributor to this church's mission and ministry. You can mail a check to the church, or you can make an online gift through the church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." In this hour of virtual worship, let us bring our whole selves, and may our gifts this day and every day spring from merciful hearts. Let us pray. Gracious God, together we form a caring community, united in spite of differences in appearance, differences in understanding, differences in experience. In partnership with you and with one another, may our offerings mean good news to many. We dedicate our very gift, seeking to serve you by sharing your love. Amen.
Our scripture reading comes today from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And then from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Here ends the reading of our holy word.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but despite its hardships, pandemic quarantine is teaching me a few things about myself. For example, by nature, I am an introvert. I need alone time. My wife remembers how in college, I used to say that I'd be very happy being a monk. And I suppose that 36 years of being with her and then having a family should have taught me it by now, but today's isolation is reminding me just how much I actually like people, of my deep need to interact with people, how much smaller life feels without people. And while I may complain at times about our family now, four adults cooped up together in a small condo unit, I am actually feeling very grateful. Though it's small, we have community during this time of confinement. It's a word that can be overused, but in 2004, waiting for chemo treatments to restore me to health, I developed a theory about community. And that theory was this: that more or less community exists in any place in proportion to lasagna. That's right, lasagna. While my wife nursed me back to health, others helped keep our household going. You heard of people organizing themselves to put out a fire by having a bucket brigade. Well, friends and neighbors and church members formed what I like to call a lasagna brigade. And I believe that the blessings of community helped quench the fire of leukemia that was ablaze within me. Harvard sociologist Robert Putnam knows about community. In his book, Bowling Alone, he documented the decline of our social connectedness, how time spent with others and involvement in public affairs and civic associations, membership in churches and in clubs, and philanthropic giving have all fallen by up to 50%, a tremendous blow to our collective sense of community. Reasons include general busyness and two-career families and suburbanization and longer commutes and mass media, and the list goes on and on. When people are devoting 4 hours or more of the day to TV or internet surfing, on top of 8 to 10 hours of work and commute, there is not much time really for relating to others. Modern life seems to almost constitute a conspiracy against community. T.S. Eliot wrote, "What life have you if you have not life together? There is no life that is not in community. And now you live dispersed in ribbon roads, and no man knows or cares who is his neighbor, unless his neighbor makes too much disturbance. But all dash to and fro in motor cars, familiar with the roads, and settled nowhere." Familiar with the roads. Well, especially now when I am not doing it, I am thinking about all the car time that I've put in over the years, and consequently, what I may have missed out. What do we have if we have not life together? Robert Putnam captures our need for each other in a term which is social capital, that tangible and intangible benefit of community. Research shows the places where residents volunteer and join organizations and vote and socialize are also places where babies are born healthy, and where teens don't tend to become parents or drop out or commit crime or attempt suicide. Where social networks flourish, there is economic prosperity and healthy behaviors are reinforced. Isolated people are much more likely to drink and smoke or overeat. The more integrated with our community, the less likely we are to have colds or heart attacks or strokes or depression. People with close friends and confidants and friendly neighbors are less likely to experience sadness, loneliness, low self-esteem, sleep, and eating disorders. In short, happiness is best predicted by the extent of our social connections. As Putnam aptly concludes, the Beatles got it right. We all get by with a little help from our friends. And sometimes, frankly, a lot of help. But we don't need Eliot or Putnam, really, to tell us that bowling alone is a pitiable half-life. All we have to do is remember. For instance, I remember I was once on the receiving end of the lasagna brigade. Neighbors babysat my kids, delivered groceries, sent notes, they prayed for us. I've had my firewood stacked by someone who I thought I would only minister to. And I've heard the collective alleluias when I was pronounced leukemia free. I like to say that through leukemia, I got a taste of the good news. I got a foretaste of that realm of love that God wants every single person to know. That is all the proof that I need, that the benefits of a vibrant community life are too many to fathom and too precious to do without. Frankly, it is the main reason why I left conference ministry, as wonderful a ministry as that was, why I left conference ministry and why I returned to parish ministry. I know that despite the decline of community, churches make a difference. As Putnam says, faith-based communities remain such a crucial reservoir of social capital that it is hard to see how we could redress the erosion of community without a major religious contribution. The fact is, churches are well poised to create and nurture community. Because our qualities of involvement, of intimacy, of immediacy and caring give us the potential for living and expressing true community. And because, well, size does matter sometimes, we are just the right size to explore and to practice and to model how to be in community in a frenzied world. We've got enough people to be more than an isolated, insulated nuclear family, but not so many that we can't know and care for each other. But there's more. There's more. We take pride and satisfaction naturally in caring for others through things like the Lasagna Brigade. Almost every church has one of those. We do such things well. And let me tell you, it makes a difference. And yet what makes us unique is that our purpose in being together isn't just to provide aid or just to worship God or to socialize or to staff the Lasagna Brigade. Our purpose is to be in community, in a community that takes seriously the essential work of community building. Two are better than one, says the author of Ecclesiastes, for if they fall, one will lift the other up. But woe to the one who is alone and does not have another to help. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. In the very intertwining of our lives with others, we could become part of something durable and strong and useful. So when Putnam says there's nothing more urgent for people who care about their communities than to try to reweave the fabric of community, I smile because here we are. There you are. A people committed to braiding and rebraiding the threefold cord. That's at least part of what Jesus was thinking when he prayed that his followers would become one. Our unity witnesses to the unity of people and God. But this unity is also essential to the embodiment of the good news of God's present and abiding love. That is why Jesus' prayer has urgency behind it. United Church of Christ founders were aware of this when they took his prayer that they may all be one as the denomination's motto. More specifically, we value unity in diversity. A saying from one strand of our UCC tradition remains a guidepost. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, diversity. In all things, charity. Here is a principle that holds diverse congregations together, but also leaves them free to express themselves in their own ways. But notice that the glue for this unity is charity and mutual affection and love. Not mushy, sentimental, soft, but radical, unconventional, life-giving love. And yes, world-transforming love, since everything in this contemporary life seems to be propelling us on our own separate journeys. Two are better than one, says Ecclesiastes, because they have a good reward for their toil. Certainly the rewards of community are good, but fact is it requires some toil, the intentional, challenging work of knitting and weaving people together. The time and intention involved in really listening to our neighbors and taking such an interest in them that they know themselves to be family. But such things are also what makes our community of faith a much more humane place and ultimately more full of the divine. Because in it, we can take up the holy work of reflecting and embodying God's love for one another. It's hard work, no doubt. But we can take heart from Jesus' promise that in community, where two or three are gathered, even virtually, he is among us. Beloved, let us praise God for all that we can do to make the place we call a spiritual home a true community, knowing that when the Spirit of Jesus and the living God is among us, we have the power to do much more than we can possibly imagine. May our loving God make it so. Amen. I offer a special word of thanks to Beth Canterbury for her solo work there, leading us in congregational singing in that beautiful, beautiful hymn, One Bread, One Body. I invite you now, if you have not already done so, to prepare your communion elements at home. By the power of God, even an English muffin can become a sacrament. Even a cup of tea or water can become a remembrance of God's redeeming love. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst. In company with all who hunger and thirst for spiritual food, we come to God's table of plenty, to know the risen Christ and God's life-giving bread and wine. This communion is open to all people. People of God, all things have been made ready. As we enter into this time of communion, we lift up care celebrations and concerns that have come to us over the weeks and months. Some of those are found in your bulletin, but we have a few others that have come to us before this worship and during worship, and so I now turn to Wayne Zaretta, who will offer those celebrations and concerns for us.
Good morning. Thoughts and prayers go out to the friends and family of Ken Barber, who passed away this week. Prayers for family and friends near and far as they face these daily challenges removed from their usual networks of support. May they find comfort. Prayers of gratitude for the sacrifices and dedication for all who are essential workers caring for us all. For those who experience fear or anxiety, we pray for peace of mind and spirit. And last but not least, we pray for medical professionals, caregivers, and researchers responsible for fighting the new coronavirus.
Beloved, let us gather these prayers together and carry them with us into our communion fellowship, remembering that communion means union with God and with one another, an essential feature of being a community of faith. We are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing, though we are many throughout the earth, and this church community is scattered, yet we are one in Christ. In your many kitchens and living rooms, rest your hands lightly upon these elements before you, which we set aside today to be a sacrament. Let us ask God's blessing upon them. Let us pray together. Gentle Redeemer, there is no lockdown on your blessing and no quarantine on grace. Send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing upon every table where your child shelters in place. That this bread may be broken and gathered in love and this cup poured out to give hope to all. Risen Christ, live in us that we may live in you. Breathe in us that we may breathe in you. As we come together for communion, we remember that Paul the Apostle wrote letters to the congregations throughout places that we now call Greece and Turkey and Macedonia, and that they were the first remote worship resources. Our online service has a very long heritage. The communion words sent to the church at Corinth were these. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us, in our many places, Receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven.
We are one in Christ in the bread we share.
Let us in our many places receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ in the cup we share.
Friends, take, eat. Let us pray in thanksgiving for this meal of grace, rejoicing that by the very method of our worship, we have embodied the truth that Christ's love is not limited by buildings made with human hands, nor contained in human ceremonies, but blows as free as the Spirit in all places. Let us pray together. Spirit of Christ, you have blessed our tables and our lives. May the eating of this bread give us courage to speak faith and act love, not only in church sanctuaries, but in your precious world. And may the drinking of this cup renew our hope even in the midst of pandemic. Wrap your hopeful presence around all whose bodies, spirits, and hearts need healing. And let us become your compassion and safe refuge. Blessed in our diversity, make us one in mind, heart, and spirit, that we might proclaim and embody well your love for all creatures and all creation. Amen. People of God, may the lonely paths of self-interest and despair lead to the broad highway of wholeness and understanding between all people, and may we remain committed to the common ministry of being builders along the access ways of God's shalom, abiding in and sharing the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ go with you. Amen.